Thank you, guys. Old Brian can sing, can't he? That's all right. Well, I haven't told you guys in a while, or at least since last week, but I want to tell you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love every one of you. Even if, thank you, even if I haven't met you, I really do love you. And I couldn't say that several years ago because I didn't like people. But I really do. I like them. I mean, I think God's changed me, and I'm glad he has. I wouldn't have been a very good pastor if I didn't like people. But I want to welcome you. This is the conclusion of Live Your Calling. On what on earth am I here for? If you've missed any of them, the CDs are free. Grab you one of them. But during this series, we've looked at five purposes for your life. We've discovered that you're not an accident. We've discovered that there are accidental parents, but there are no accidental children. There are illegitimate parents, but no illegitimate children. Your parents may not have planned you, but God did. He did. And he planned you. As I was thinking about Micah when I was praying, he planned, since Micah's the newest life here, he planned Micah before the foundation of the world, that he knew he was going to be here. And that's just incredible, because it means your life has value. It means, conga boy, your life has significance. Because he planned you before the foundation of the world. Incredible. You're not an accident. The Bible says that God created us for five purposes, five reasons, five assignments. He calls it our callings in life. The first one that we looked at was I am called to be loved. The number one purpose of your life is you were made to be loved by God. And until you get that, I was made to be loved by God, nothing else is going to make sense. That you were made by God and for God. And he made you to love you. And then you will have the capacity to move in every area of your life that he wants you to move to and experience life in all its fullness. And until you do that, life's just going to be incomplete. But you're loved by God. Then the next week we looked at you're called to belong. That you're not just called to be loved, but you're called to belong. And to belong to his family. You're not meant to go through life on your own. You're made for connection. You're made for relationships. And you're made for community. And we find our purpose and our meaning in life in those relationships and in that community. You're called to belong. Then third, we looked at you're called to become. God has plans for your life. He has plans for Micah. You know, he made you to become what he wants you to be. You can't be anybody in the world. People will tell you that you can be anything and anybody, but it's just not true. No matter how hard I try, I ain't gonna be no opera singer. No matter how hard I try, I'm not going to be a running back on a pro football team. God didn't wire me that way. He may not have wired you that way. But you can be who God has made you to become. And that's where joy comes in. When you become who God has made you to become, joy enters your life. Joy enters your life. You're called to love, you're called to belong, you're called to become. And then last week we looked at you're called to bless. You're called to bless others. You know, God didn't put you on this earth to live a little selfish life where it's all about me. He didn't do that for us. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about others. We find our true purpose when we give our lives away, period. To give our lives away. When we bless others, it seems like I get blessed. When we help others, we get helped. It's kind of the law of sowing and reaping. So get those CDs if you missed them. But we're going to look today at the fifth one. But I want to tell you what God's plan for history is. Write this down in your first little blank. God is gathering a family that will love and live with him forever. That's what he's doing. That's his plan for history. He's gathering a family that will love and live with him forever. And the Bible makes this very, very clear. It came to us first through the nation of Israel, and he gave this message to the Jews, and then he gives it to the rest of us. And we are to pass it on to others. So his plan for history, he's gathering a family that'll love and live with him forever. Guys, if God hadn't wanted a family, he wouldn't have created the universe. He wouldn't have created the human race. You know, Brian, if he didn't want a family, he wouldn't have created you and me. You know, he just wouldn't have done it. But he wants a family. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:5, I don't think it's in your outline, but his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family, by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave him great pleasure. All of us are created by God. All of us are loved by God, but not everybody is a child of God. You know why? Because you got to choose to be a part of the family. I'm baptizing at the end of the service today. A young lady has chosen to be part of the family, and she wants to tell you. You know, Lee McCrory a couple of weeks ago chose to be part of the family. And so she wants to tell y'all that today, to be part of the family. That's all right. Some parts of our families cry sometimes. That's all right. She's all right. She ain't bothering me none. But there's only two ways to get in the family, to be born into it or be adopted into it. And God uses it in his word, a spiritual rebirth and adoption. It just means to get into God's family. Now, for that to happen, you know, God's whole purpose of creating the universe and the human race is to gather people who choose willingly to love him. God gives you and me free choice. Free choice to either love him or reject him. And God says you ought to give everybody gets a free choice to either love or reject. You know why? Because it's not faith if it's forced. It's not faith if it's forced. So we don't believe in coercion here. We believe in persuasion. Persuasion. You know, we believe, you know, may the best idea win. We don't believe in coercion because he says, I created you to love you, and it's not love unless you choose to love. He didn't want a bunch of robots. He wanted us to choose to love him, to become part of God's family. Now, once God's family's gathered together, then comes phase two, which is after the earth, which is after life in eternity. It's where real life begins. What's happening right now is just a practice run. What's happening right now is just a practice lap before the real race begins, to warm the track up, to warm the car up. This ain't happening right now. This is just practice before the real stuff goes. But all of that say, for God to gather his family, somebody has to pass on the good news. Somebody has to do it. And here's what the Bible says in Romans 10. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a wonderful promise. Then it says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And then how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And then how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's what the scripture means. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Write this down. This is my fifth purpose in life. My fifth calling in life is this. I'm sent to bring others into God's family. Every one of us, we're sent. From me to Micah, we're sent to bring others into God's family. You know, once we step across that line, once we choose to love Jesus and to follow him, that spiritual line, God wants us to share the good news with others. That's just the way it is. You know, he wants us to share that. And I was struggling with preaching this sermon this morning. I thought, well, you know, everybody knows we've got to share the good news. And then some people don't care about missions. Some people don't think about missions. Well, that's a bad attitude. It's a bad mindset. And a young lady came here this morning who's had a terrible tragedy in her family. She prayed there nearly the whole 9 o'clock service. As a matter of fact, I think she's still somewhere in the church praying. She's only been here a couple of times. When the tragedy happened, she knew she had to come to this place because she felt drawn to this place by the Holy Spirit. And she just knew she wanted to come, that there was peace here, that there was rescue here, there was acceptance here. Not the building, but the Holy Spirit and you. And that's good news. We got to tell that. We got to share that. We got to sing about it. It would be like if I had the cure for AIDS and I kept it a secret. I didn't, you know, tell anybody. You know what they ought to do? Put me in prison. If I had the cure for cancer and I didn't tell anybody, that'd be criminal. I should be marked a criminal. But God has given us an even greater message. Greater message than the cure to all of that. That we can have our past forgiven. That we can have a purpose for living and a home in heaven. If I don't share that and you don't share that, we should be locked up. It's criminal for us to set on that good of news and not share it with others. It really is. So our fifth calling in life is that I'm sent to bring others. I'm sent. You're sent. Everyone's sent to bring others into God's family. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, through Christ, God made peace between us and himself. Then God gave us the work of bringing others into peace with him. I love this word peace here. Peace. God made peace between us and himself through Jesus. And then God gave us the work of bringing others into peace with him. God said, I am not mad at you. Because I'm mad about you. I'm not mad at you. Through Jesus Christ, you can be at peace with him. This is God's eternal peace plan. It's the ministry of reconciliation. One day Jesus was walking down the road, and a guy comes up to him and says, Lord, what is the most important verse in the Bible? Jesus looks at him and says, I can really summarize the whole Bible in two sentences. Here's the cliff notes. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the Bible in a sentence. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor. Guys, if you and I can get those two, if we can, right, Lee? Lee told somebody one thing. He said, I'm still working on these two. If we can get these two, let the others argue about everything else. He says, this is it. They can argue about all those other details. Guys, I want to tell you, we as Christians and we and people at North Point, we got to love God. We got to love others. Everything else is fluff. Love God, love others. It says, be reconciled to God and be reconciled to each other. Make peace with God and with each other. You stop your war with God and you stop your war with each other. Make peace. I'm telling you, if you end the conflict with God, you're going to end the conflict with each other. Invite the Prince of Peace into your life and you're going to live with peace with each other. It's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. Life is not about accomplishments. It's not about achievements or acquisitions. It's about people. It's about relationships to God, to yourself, and to other people. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor. Period. As yourself. This is the ministry of reconciliation. Make peace with God. Make peace with others. Then you bring peace, the peace of God, into their lives. This peace will only happen. This is important here for those of you guys that think missions is not for you. It'll only happen if you fulfill this fifth calling. John 20, 21 says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. That's an important verse. Really important. Peace. Peace. We get peace from God as we explain peace to others. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. We're called to love. We're called to belong. We're called to become. I'm called to bless. And I'm called to be sent. I'm called to be sent. And we take this pretty seriously at North Point. You know, we've got a goal here, and I hope we make it before I go to heaven, that we go and have some presence in every nation in the world. There's 196 nations in the world. 194 of them belong to the UN. Only two. And I know some of you are saying, well, what's those others two? And they don't have anything to do with what I'm preaching on, but I'm going to tell you so you'll know how smart I am. And it's only because I looked it up on the internet. And we all know everything on the internet's true, right? Bonjour. Anyway. Y'all got that, didn't you? That was just for y'all. 9 o'clock didn't get that. Taiwan and Kosovo, I believe, is the two. Is that right? Anybody? You like that? Bonjour. I like that too. Now I can't go nowhere. But we want to send folks or have some sort of presence in every nation on the planet. You know, I can just imagine. Though I thought sometimes is I don't want to get to heaven, and God said, "Come on in, Jim. Let's talk for a second before you go back and meet the others." You know, He says, "You know, let's go through your purposes. Let's do this checklist and see if you did okay. You know, did you know that you were called to be loved? I got that one, God. Thank you for loving me. You know, did you fulfill the purpose of becoming? Sure did, man. I became." He said, "You know, did you do that? What about belong? Yeah, I belong. I belong to your family, God." He said, "Did you bless others? Did you do number four?" "I tried, God. I tried to bless others. I did pretty good, I think, you know." He says, "Well, did you pass it on to others?" Well, God, I did four of them. I didn't tell anybody else. And I don't guess I passed it on. I think God would look at me and say, what were you thinking, Jim? What were you thinking? I think he'd look at me and say, Jim, did I put you on earth just to live for yourself? No. I think he'd look at me and say, Jim, once you got the good news, you're supposed to pass it on to others. So I don't want to go through that. I want to be able to say, you know, I've been working on all five. Who does he use? He uses ordinary people. He uses ordinary people empowered by God, making a difference together where they are. You know who that is? You and me. Ordinary people. As they say, we're going to go where no one has gone before. Amen. I'm really silly today. I like it. We're going to go to remote tribes. We're going to go everywhere. We're going everywhere. Courtney called me this week and she's going to Liberia. We got folks going to Belize this summer. We got Kesley going to Uganda. Don's in Ukraine right now. Going to go back to Belize. Probably wind up back in Afghanistan and Israel. Probably going to wind up on Poplar Springs Road. Maybe the trailer parks in some subdivisions. But we're going. We're going. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to do it because it's part of God's plan. Whether we do it or not, it's really our choice. It's going to happen. Will we be the generation? Will we be the generation that Scott talks about all the time, the Great Commission? Will we be the generation to fulfill that? Will we be the one that we walk up onto a member of the Garifuni tribe? And we tell them why we're here and why we do what we're doing and Jesus loves them and wants them to be part of the family. And they make a decision, yes or no. And then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ splits the sky. Because that was the last one that needed to be told. That'd be something. Will we be that generation to go, to be sent? Or will we be the generation to punt the ball like the one before me did? And let somebody else carry it. It's our choice. Our choice. It's going to happen. Look what Isaiah explains it. In 14, chapter 14, 24 says, it will all happen as I have planned. It will come about according to my purposes. I have a plan for the whole earth. Let me just show you something here. Notice it didn't say just for America. Have you figured out yet that God is not American? Some people think that God is an American. I mean, they even wrap a flag around the cross. No, don't do that. I want to tell you, God loves every nation and every people and every country. Not just America. How can I put this best? God has never made anybody that he doesn't love. Never. They're all equal. He says, I have a plan. Not just for America, but I have a plan for the whole earth. Look, for my mighty power reaches throughout the world. So what does God want us to do? Acts 20, 24 says, the most important thing is that I complete my mission. The work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace. How do I do that? Real quick, four things. What's the first thing you do? Pray. Pray that people will say yes to God. Pray that people will say yes to God. To their life mission, their life message. I love this phrase of saying yes to God. Look what... Jesus said to his followers in Matthew 9, this was the first trip I believe he sent them out on. Jesus said this, There are so many people to harvest, but only a few workers to help harvest them. Pray to the Lord who owns the harvest that he will send out more workers to gather his harvest. So part of your life calling is to pray. Pray that God will send people to reach everybody with the good news of God's love, because everybody deserves to hear it. Everybody deserves to hear it. I believe that everybody deserves the chance to hear it twice. That's what I think. But I'm a second chance guy. I figure God gave me two or three. Everybody else ought to get two. But they deserve to hear. So we pray. We pray that God will send people out. And I'm talking about all y'all and me. Number two, the second thing we do is give. Give to help others go. You know, you might be in this stage of life where you can't go. You might have young children and you're just not able to make it, you know, because it's hard to leave a couple-of-week-old kid by themselves. But you can't help other people go. You can help other people go. You know, you might be, you know, like, say, preschoolers or something, or you might be an elderly person, and you've gotten a little more creaky, you know, in the latter years, and you might have we call it in Rockmart, a little hitch in your get-along. Y'all ever heard that? Got a little hitch in your get-along. Say that with me. I want to hear y'all say that. Got a little hitch in your get-along. Yeah. But you can't go, but you can help. You can help go. You can help people go. Because the Bible says when you help other people go on a mission trip, a humanitarian trip, or sharing the good news, anything like that, you actually participate in the reward. That's important, guys. You participate in the reward. 3 John 1:8 says, we must support believers who go on trips like this so we can work together with them in spreading the truth. Freely you have received, freely give. God says, I've been generous with you. Be generous and to help others. Guys, we're sending folks to Belize, New Mexico, Cuba. We went to Cuba last year, Afghanistan, India, Liberia. Now we got a presence in Tibet. Where? Who? What did you say?
Palestine.
We're going to get me a hearing aid. But we're going into all these places. Guys, we're going to go. We're going to have that presence there. I can pray and I can give. The third thing is step out. Step out. I can step out in faith. What does that mean? Step out in faith. Volunteer. Be part of God's army. God's mission is 100% volunteer. What does that mean? It means there's no draft. You have to volunteer. You have to say, Lord, I'm willing and I'm able. You have to say that. We're not going to draft you. You have to say that. Do you know why? And please take this what it is. I just know me better than I just know what goes on in my life. Do you know why God uses me? Because I volunteered. And I volunteer every day, actually. Every morning. I say, Lord, I know you're going to do some neat things today. And I say, Jesus, I just want to know if you'd give me the privilege of being in on it. Just to be part of some of them. I told him one morning, I said, Lord, the train's moving and I just want to be on it. You know, I just want to be on it. I used to say something else, but I don't say this no more. I do not say, God bless what I'm doing. Because I found out that's the wrong way to go about it. You know what I say now? God, help me to do what you're blessing. I don't say, God, bless what I'm doing. Help me to do what you're blessing. Because I know, God, I got excited one morning. You're going to bless a whole bunch of stuff today. You're going to bless a whole bunch of stuff today. And would you just let me in on some of it? That way it's not God working on my plan, it's me working on his plan. And things change when it's like that. So I don't say, God bless my plans. I say, God, what are you planning today? Things change. Let me in on some of it. So I step out in faith, like Isaiah did in Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said to the Lord, here I am. Send me. Can you imagine 1,000 folks from North Point saying, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. You know, can you imagine somebody coming up to you? Say you're one of those people that's got a little hitch and you get along. And you couldn't go, but you said, I got $20. I'd give it to them to go. Can you imagine somebody coming up to you in heaven? I love to think about heaven. And they say, Jim, you don't know me, but I want to thank you. He said, well, for what? Well, you help send somebody, and they started a church 50 years ago. And the last year before I died, that church taught me the good news. I was forgiven, and I found salvation. I found redemption. And my life was radically changed for the better. And then here's the kicker. We're in heaven, remember? Says, Chad, I'm here because of you. I'm here because you gave. That's going to be something. I'm here because of you. Well, that'll be worth it, wouldn't it? Won't that be worth it? That's fruit that won't spoil or won't burn. That's fruit that'll last. What have you done in your life that's going to last? What have you done in your life that won't run in eternity? Well, I want to tell you something about to happen. Some of you guys may not know this, may or know this. This has just been coming about, and I announced it to the 9 o'clock this morning. But God's been working with me and the elders and several folks in our church, and we believe he's got a plan. We've told the Lord we want to be part of that plan. We got a building over here called the Impact Building that I can't stand to see a building ain't used at all. And when that bunch from Piedras Negras in Mexico came up, started ministering to the Hispanic community here in Adairsville, God started moving some things. I think I actually started playing a long time ago. Remember, before the foundations of the earth. But anyway, we believe we want to catch on to his plan. That building ain't being used, so we're going to offer that building to the Hispanic community to have a church. Yeah. And so we're working on that. We're going to have ourselves a El North Point Impacto. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. Did I say it right that time? But you know, it would change our fellowships a lot different, wouldn't it? And that's something that you can get involved in too. You might want to be a scaffold. Y'all know what a scaffold is? It's kind of what I think. Scaffolding is these things you put up beside a building that helps you, you know, build the building. And people can crawl up on it, and as the building gets higher, the scaffolding, they add to the scaffolding. But when the building's complete, they take the scaffolding down. I guess what I'm saying is you could be like one of those scaffoldings. You could go over there and help them build it. And as it helps out, you know, your scaffolding goes up and up, and then when they're up and running, you come down. So, you know, pray about being a scaffold, if that's a word, but I'm sure it is. But if you want God to use you in any area, something like that, or Palestine, or Poplar Springs, or subdivision, or a trailer park, you just have to say, "I'm in." My mother-in-law, who passed away several years ago, I was looking at her prayer journal, and Cheryl taught me something, and I'm going to pass it on to you. The most dangerous prayer that we can pray is only two words: use me. Use me. You tell that one to God, and you better get your boots on. Because God is looking for people to use. Use me. I'll never forget that. I don't want you to either. Psalm 67 says, "Send us around the world with the news of your saving power and your eternal plan for all mankind. Send me," like Isaiah said. Send me. Use me. So step out in faith, pray, and give so that others can go. Number four, go where I can now. You might not be able to go to Palestine. You may not be able to go, but you can go somewhere now. You know, that's a personal piece. Guys, we live in a county, just Bartow County, that is filled with needs all around us. Gordon County, people are hurting. People are dying. People are bleeding. People need help. This lady prayed the whole 9 o'clock. She needed help. So you don't have to go all around the world. They need help. You know, at Impact, the food pantry over here, we fed an average of like 1,000, 1,200 families. We're doing that a month. There's needs everywhere. You know, we've got ministries, hundreds of them right in their own backyard. You can't imagine when I hear it around town about getting a haircut. Can you imagine? Here's some ladies that take their abilities and their skills, and they love on people where they're at. They didn't have to go anywhere else. They cut their hair right there. And they say, "Why do you do this?" "Because I got some good news. I have a purpose for living. I'm forgiven. And I have a home in heaven. And now I'm sent. Here I am. Send me." Once Jesus tells the story of a guy that was struggling with some demons, really personal demons in his life, and Jesus helped him to get his head on straight. I mean, Jesus helped him out, and he helped him to get his act together. And he wanted to follow Jesus. I would have too. You know, if I was filled with demons, I want to go with him. But you know what Jesus told him? "If you don't, I'm fixing to tell you." Luke 8:39, Jesus said this: "You go back home and tell people how much God has done for you." So the man went all over town telling how much Jesus has done for him. To me, that's what God is saying to some of you. You need to go back home. You need to tell people on your campus. You need to tell people on your job. You need to tell people in the Nepal. Whatever, what Jesus has done for you, tell them the good news. You might need to tell your next door neighbor that you haven't met yet. But need to tell them the good news. The last verse on your outline, 2 Timothy 4:10. It says this. This is also our memory verse. Work at bringing others to Christ. Why? So that they'll experience His love. So they'll experience His forgiveness, His peace, you know, His purpose. They'll experience that past forgiven, that purpose for living in the home in heaven. That's our memory verse. So what do? Say it with me. 2 Timothy 4:10. Work at bringing others to Christ. 2 Timothy 4:10. All right. Y'all got it? What'd I say? I messed it up in the 9 o'clock service too. I think it's 4:10. Did I mess it up in the bulletin? Look at both of them. I tell you what, since y'all corrected me, memorize both of them. How's that for you? I'm glad y'all listen. Now you got two of them to do, all right? How do I bring people to Christ? How do I help share the good news? How do I tell people that God ain't mad at us? How do I tell people that God loves us, wants a relationship? He didn't come to give us religion, guys. Preacher's been preaching that for years, and I want to say it again. It ain't about religion. It's about relationship. He said, I come that you would have life and have it abundantly. But as a pastor and somebody that's kind of going around town a lot, most people ain't living. They're just existing. Guys, there's a life out there. There's an abundant life. Most people get up in the morning, go to work, and come home and watch TV and go to bed. Then they repeat the same thing the next morning and the next morning and the next morning. I want to tell you, you ain't living. You're just existing. And Jesus said, I come that they might have life. It's about a relationship. It's not about religion. Now, I'm going to pray for us. Then we're going to work on that great commission. We're about to baptize a young lady named Michaela. Michaela, I'm going to pray wherever you're at, and you make your way back there, and give me some time to change, and I'm going to ask you not to leave. I'm going to ask you not to leave today. I know some of you are saying, well, if I get out right now, I won't have to fight that parking lot. This Michaela has come to say she wants to be part of your family, and she wants to see that, and I'm getting on to you a little bit. Don't you run out. This is what we're called to do. We're called to do. I'll get out and I'll help direct traffic after I leave. But I want you to see this girl tell you that she wants to be part of your family and that she's accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And that's worth a few minutes. Amen? Does that mean? I wanted it to be. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. I thank you saved this young lady. And I thank you she belongs to our family. Your family. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.